Our passage is in Deuteronomy chapter 8, so if you haven't turn there now, if you haven't already, let me open up in prayer. Father God, we need your grace. We need you to move. We need you to live. We need you to open our eyes that we might see wonderful and true and glorious things in your word. And Father, as we often do, we look this morning to your people, Israel. We look to them in the Old Testament as an example. We look to them as an example to us, just as Paul says. And Father, I need your help this morning. We need your help this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would give your Holy Spirit to guide my thoughts, to guide my tongue, to give me clarity. I pray that you would give us hearts that worship you. I pray that you would give us hearts that would recognize and that would admit and that would truly, deeply know how much we need you. And out of that, that you would give us lives that seek to obey you, that seek to follow your commandments. Just as you called Israel to live a life of trust and dependent obedience. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. I'm going to reread Deuteronomy chapter 8, just the first six verses, and we read the whole passage for context and just to settle into these things, but really, we'll just be covering the first six verses of Deuteronomy 8. All these commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years. That he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you, just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear you. So here in Deuteronomy we have the people of Israel are poised to enter into the promised land. If you remember, they were redeemed. They were brought out of the land of Egypt. They were brought through the Red Sea. They were brought through the wilderness at Sinai. They received God's law. And when they made it to the land, they sent out their scouts. Scouts brought back the report that the land was good. The land was pleasing. But there were people in the land that were too strong for them to be able to take on. The Israelites, seeing God's promised land and seeing that the people were strong and mighty in the land, they did not trust the Lord that he could deliver the people into their hands. They did not trust and therefore they did not obey. They did not enter into the promised land, and so God told them that he was going to send them into the wilderness. And then they kind of changed their mind. They said, no, we'll go up. And then God said, no, it's too late. They said, no, we'll go up. And so they go in. And that doesn't go very well. Because God, again, they disobeyed God in not going in, and then they disobeyed God in going in. And then they were defeated and sent into the wilderness for 40 years. This passage is showing us Moses. This is after the 40-year wilderness. They're about to enter into the land again, a new generation, and Moses is telling them, remember what the Lord taught you. He's telling them, God has led you through the wilderness for a reason. God has brought these sufferings on you for a reason, and he's calling them to remember that so that they would be faithful in obeying him, faithful in following his commandments and trusting him as they enter and as they're in the land. So really this sermon, it's just structured five things that the people of Israel should remember as they enter into the land in order that they might have dependent obedience, in order that they might trust, and in order that they might obey. Trust and obey. It's just the song, the hymn, it just encompasses so much of what our Christian life is. Just trust and obey. So the five things that Israel ought to remember: God's promise, your suffering, your sin, your need, and God's provision. So remember God's promise, remember your suffering, remember your sin, remember your need, and remember God's provision. So verse 1. All the commandments that I am commanding you today, the I there is Moses giving these messages, giving these sermons. All that I'm commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. So right there we have the first thing that they need to remember. And this is more of a subtle reminder that we see throughout Deuteronomy, throughout other books in the Old Testament. Whenever he brings up the land which the Lord swore. And that brings to Israel's mind the promises of God. That's mostly what makes their previous disobedience so shocking. That God had promised to give them that land and they didn't believe. Maybe they didn't believe that God was strong enough to give them the land, or maybe they didn't believe that he was good enough or that he would keep his word. Maybe they just forgot. Maybe they just forgot, allowed themselves to forget that that was a promise that God had made. It brings our mind back to the covenant that God had made with Abraham. And so I want to look just one chapter back, maybe one or two pages back, to chapter 7, starting in verse 7. Because the phrase in this in verse 8, that he swore to give to your forefathers, the land he swore to give to your forefathers, that brings a lot with it. There is a lot behind God's promise. And if they would just focus on that promise, I think they would be really strengthened in their obedience. So Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession. Out of all the peoples on the earth, on the face of the earth, the Lord did not set his love on you or choose you because you were more numbered than any of these peoples, for you are the fewest of all peoples. So we see that when God chose Israel, he did not choose them because of their strength. He did not choose them because of how many people they had. They were the fewest of the peoples on the earth. And so when they're looking into the land, when they're looking into God, fulfilling the promise that he made in their weakness, they should not be looking at themselves. They should not be looking and saying, okay, we're not strong enough. Because God did not choose them because of their strength. Why did God choose them? In verse 8, the Lord did not set his love on you because you were the strongest, because you were more number, but the Lord loved you because the Lord loved you. He set his love on you because he loved you. It's one of the most glorious circles in Scripture. That's one of the most exciting things that you could read. That God, as a people, to see God has not loved us because of our strength. God has loved us because he loved us. Because the Lord loved you and because and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to the thousandth generation, to those who love him and keep his commandments. So remember God's promise. Remember God's promise, and the foundation of God's promise is his love and his choosing of you. And that doesn't go away. That foundation is what lays the groundwork for being able to follow God in faith. So remember God's promise. Remember your suffering. Back to chapter 8, verse 2. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. These passages like this have really helped for me in seeing difficulty, seeing suffering in my life, in other people's lives, and knowing that there's a reason for it. Knowing that there's a reason, that God has a reason for the difficult things that happen. I think that as the people of Israel, you finally made it through the wilderness, 40 years, everyone who started out from the former generation has passed away and will not enter the land. I think one of the most difficult things would be remember those times. Remember your sufferings. That's the last thing I want to remember. That is the last thing that I want to think about, is being hungry in a wilderness with fiery snakes, fiery serpents, death, hunger, thirst. It's absolutely the last thing that I want to think about. Maybe you'd even have the mindset, I'm willing to forget about that, God, if you would just, bring me into this prosperity. I'm willing to ignore that happened. And Moses is saying, look straight at those sufferings. Look straight at what happened and know that it is because God brought you there. Because if you forget that God was the one who brought you there in his sovereignty, you will forget exactly what he was teaching you in that time. We must remember the sufferings. Israel, you must remember your sufferings Bible Baptist Church, you must remember your sufferings. God was teaching you something in that. So what was he teaching them? Well, we see that he was teaching them humility. God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years that he might humble you. This has got to be a really important lesson. 40 years, that's almost twice my life. I don't even know what 40 years is. That is a long time to teach a lesson. It's got to be an important lesson. That he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart. This is what sufferings do. We enter into sufferings, and that is what draws out what is in your heart. That is what draws out whether you obey or not. When I have stress at work and my new job for the last few weeks, that has drawn out anger, frustration, that has drawn out impatience. And Emily can attest to any of those things. I get upset with people. I don't trust in the Lord. These sufferings have a way of drawing out things that we don't even know were there. And they do that by testing us, by tempting. There is temptation in suffering. That's why Jesus entered into the wilderness himself for after 40 days and 40 nights of not eating. The temptation was stronger for God, for Jesus to create bread out of a rock and to provide for himself. So when we remember suffering, we remember our sins. So that's the third remember. Remember God's promise. Remember your sufferings. Remember your sin. Because in remembering their testing, Israel would have seen their heart. They didn't get a passing grade. When they were in the wilderness, Israel did not get a passing grade. They grumbled. They complained. They wanted to go back to Egypt. And this brings us to, I want to look at chapter 9, so the next chapter in Deuteronomy. Because Moses points them to this very fact. He tells them to remember your sin while you're in the land, while you're entering the land. He says in chapter 9, verse 4, "Do not say in your heart, when the Lord your God has driven them out before you, 'It's because of my righteousness that the Lord has brought me into the possess this land.' But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is dispossessing them. It is not because of your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart that you are going to possess the land. But it is because of the Lord your God is driving them out before you in order to confirm the oath that he swore to your forefathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. Know then that it is not because of your righteousness." In case you missed it the first two times. "That the Lord your God is giving you the good land to possess. For you are a stubborn people." And then he's going to go pretty much the rest of the chapter, and he's going to remind them of their sin. He's going to remind them of how they made a calf right after being redeemed from Egypt. He's going to remind them of how they grumbled and complained when they were hungry in the wilderness. And this is why Moses calls on the people of Israel to remember their sin in order for them to have dependent obedience. Because when we don't remember our sinfulness, when we look at our obedience and our blessing that the Lord brings to us, we're tempted to say it's because of our righteousness. And I can tell you, 2 seconds of looking at my past sins immediately reminds me that it's not because of my righteousness. 2 seconds of looking at my past, at situations of sin, tell me it's not my righteousness. It's not my goodness that is bringing this blessing. It's not me. That sin is one of the strongest means that God brings to humble us. And it's a bittersweet. It is a bittersweet, a constant reminder. So remember God's promise. Remember your suffering. Remember your sin. Remember your need. Verse 3. He humbled you. He let you hunger. He let you be hungry. And he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So a big part of why did God lead the people into the wilderness? He led them to test them, and he led them to be hungry. Just, there was a point where they hadn't eaten for a while and they were getting hungry. They could feel their stomachs rumbling, and nobody likes that. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes being thirsty. Nobody likes being hungry and being stranded in a wilderness and wondering, where's the food going to come from? Are we just going to die out here? Does God love us? So he allows them to hunger. He allows them to thirst. God allows the people of Israel to feel their need. And that is what draws out humility. And I can think about, we think about Christ in his humanity. He hungered. He thirsted. And he walked in humble obedience to the Lord through those times. But along with remembering your need, finally, we remember God's provision. That though you hungered, though you thirsted, God fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that as the Lord your God was disciplining you, just as a man disciplines his son. I think the value in looking at these verses is just to meditate on what they're saying. To meditate on the fact, I mean, they're familiar stories. I thought about, like, what analogies or what illustrations could I have, like, in my sermon this morning. The illustration is right here. Israel is the illustration. There was a people who God led through the wilderness for 40 years, and that's supposed to teach us something. It's a picture. It's something that I have thought through, that I had thought about in times in my life. And it's a picture, it's an analogy, it's an illustration that really happened that can help us to understand these truths. God does provide. God does answer prayers. God did feed them with manna. He does give them water out of the rock. He did 40 years, he did miraculously provide by sustaining their clothing. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell. I walk for a few hours in the wilderness and my feet will be blistering. You walk for that long in the wilderness, your clothes are going to wear out. Israel's clothes did not wear out. They had received grace upon grace. They should have been destroyed, but God fed them. They should have been destroyed, but God gave them water. They should have had been walking barefoot with blistering feet, but God gave them grace that he might teach them to depend on him in all things, all circumstances. That's five points. Remember God's promise. Remember your suffering. Remember your sin. Remember your need, and remember God's provision. Now, I want to close by not necessarily reading. Well, maybe we'll just read the rest of the passage, because Israel is going to go into the land. And we're not always struggling with suffering. We're not always having these huge, difficult situations. But God is basically saying, the wilderness period is training you for the real test. I think the real test is when you have prosperity. When your life is good, do you have the same humble obedience, the same dependence that you had when it was obvious that you needed God? So just read with me the rest of the passage, starting in verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper, When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given to you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments. How will you forget God? Well, you're going to get really comfortable. You're going to get really comfortable and you're going to say, you're just going to drift away from his commandments. You're just going to, in your subconsciously, consciously, you're going to say, that's not really that important to, I've already got what I need. It's not that important to follow God. And when you walk away from his commandments, you will forget the Lord. So beware that you do not forget the Lord by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Otherwise, when you've eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and live in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He has led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, he fed you with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and he might test you to do you good in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, well, my power and my strength and by the strength of my hand have made me this wealth. You're going to start to rely on yourself. You're going to start to think that my righteousness, my goodness has brought me these things. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who has given you power to make wealth, that He may confirm His covenant which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. It shall come about if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish. Likewise, the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish, because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Let me pray. Father God, I know how much I need you. Even in preparing for this sermon, God, it's just been difficult to bring all the information, all the things that I've learned and want to share. It's difficult to bring them into a clear way of being able to say it that is helpful and beneficial. And God, we rely fully on your Spirit to work. We rely fully on your Spirit to move and to teach us by looking at your people Israel many, many years ago. And we pray that we would not, feel so removed from their stubbornness. I pray that we would recognize that apart from your grace, we are just as stubborn and sinful as they. And that is by the power of your might that you strengthen us unto obedience. Oh, that we would feel our need for you. As we will sing, I need you every hour. And when we have victories over sin, when we have victories in our conversations with people, when we have victories in seeking you, I pray that we would not forget you, that we need you the next hour and the next hour. I pray that our dependence would not lead us into complacency, but it would lead us into faithful obedience and security, knowing that your love is the foundation of everything. So we pray that we would continue to bless you in this morning's service. Amen.